Bine ați venit în casa Domnului. Welcome to the house of the Lord. It's a privilege and an honor to be up here and to be able to do the sermon tonight. And I'm really excited. I'm going to jump into it. It's going to be really fun and really fast. Hopefully you guys are with your Bibles and you're ready. We're going to be flipping all throughout the scriptures. I really love doing Bible studies, really taking a passage and then finding other passages in the Word of God that work together, that complement it, that build on this idea. I really love searching through the scriptures and trying to see what God tells us. And I'm going to be talking about children tonight. As many of you know, I work in Sunday school, I work with the VBS and stuff. I really love kids. I have a 5-year-old brother, and it was really funny. It was during worship last week, we were singing the song, I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. And as I was singing, I was worshiping God, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, this is what I want you to speak on. So I'm really excited to be talking about children. Now, to put aside any worries, any fears that you might have, I know when I said to Andrew Valian and I, we stayed in post together so that God, we fasted together so that God would speak to me what to say. He was like, you're talking about kids, about children? And I'm like, yeah. And he was just like kind of confused. And I'm like, okay, before I start talking about children, don't worry, guys. If you open up to Matthew chapter 6, this is just like an introduction before I actually get into the sermon. Jesus says this from verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed as one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So, from what I got with that conversation with him, it was kind of like, dude, you should be talking about convention or something big. And it's like, no, we don't have to worry about convention. Yes, it's coming up in a few days, but we don't have to worry about it. Look at the grass of the field. They don't toil. They don't spin, they don't worry about anything, and God takes care of them. So, for anybody who's worrying about the convention, this is a time to put that on the back burner. Don't worry about that. Enjoy from the Word of God, enjoy this message, and let it build you up. Let it give you the fuel that you need so that you can go into the convention and go with power. And like Dorian said earlier, like Frater Druhara said, that we would show the love of God through all that we do. So, now starting the actual sermon. I'm so excited. Okay, so there's a story I want to tell you guys. There was this little boy, about 6 years old. He was walking along one day, and he saw a bird land and sit on its nest. And he was walking with his mom. He said, Mom, why is that bird sitting on its nest? And his mom said, well, look, it lays eggs, right? And then the mama bird sits on the eggs, and the eggs hatch into little baby birds. He's like, wow, that's cool. Well, the next day, that boy went missing, and they searched for him for hours and hours and hours, and it was the middle of winter, so there was snow around, so they were kind of worried, and they go outside, and they see his tracks in the snow, and they follow his tracks over to his neighbor's house, and at his neighbor's house, they had a hen house. He had gone inside the hen house. He was sitting on a nest of eggs. He was blue with the cold. He was saying, I can hatch them. I can hatch them. So that's the story I want to start off with. This is what a child is like. And the title, if I could give a title for my message tonight, is Faith, comma, Like a Child. It isn't just any type of faith, but it's faith like a child. And the reason I chose this is because a lot of different things. I want to read you guys the theme verse for tonight's sermon. It's in Romans chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. It's actually Paul, as he's writing to the Romans, he writes this, but it's actually a prophecy from the book of Hosea. Romans chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. He also says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who is not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called the sons of the living God. And I love this verse. It's a beautiful, powerful verse of encouragement. It's one that you can put in your back pocket, and when you feel discouraged, distressed about something, you pull it out and you say, those people who are called not my people, they will be called the sons of the living God. It's so much power that we have, that privilege that we are called children of God. So, why did I start out with a story before going into the Bible? I'm studying medicine, right? And so I really like science. So I looked it up. And it so happens that when people listen to a story, something interesting happens in their brains. You get a group of people, and you look at their brain activities, and they're all thinking about different things, worrying about different things. They all have different experiences in life. But when you tell them a story, if you actually look at how their brains function, their brains go from being all different to aligning. They come together, and they have similar brain patterns, similar brain activities. The parts of the brain that are active together. And this is really interesting because it isn't just in one language, but these scientists that did this research, they got people who speak different languages. They said the same story to people in Russian, to people in Chinese, and to people in English. And they found, no matter what language they told them the same story in, they would get the same brain activity on their brains. So something about stories is really powerful. That's why I wanted to start with a story, something funny, something easy, something light. But the fact is that Jesus also spoken stories. If we look through the Gospels, we see all the time that Jesus is speaking through stories. He's speaking through parables. A parable is an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. He has all sorts of different stories saying, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. There was a sower who went forth and he sowed seed. So the reason why Jesus used stories was because it causes this brain activity. I don't know how quite to say it, but Jesus knew no matter where the gospel would go, the stories would be told. And the meaning of the story would stay the same, that no matter where it was told throughout the world, these stories would cause people's minds to change. They would cause them to change and be more like his, like Jesus. And that's what we want. Also, something that's really awesome is kids love stories. This is one of the funnest things about working with VBS and with Sunday school, because you get to tell the kids stories from the Bible. And it isn't just, okay, so there was this guy, he went down from Jericho, and he was mugged, and then he was hurt, and there was a Good Samaritan who came and helped him. We want to be like the Good Samaritan. But I take the kids, and I have them act it out, and I'm like, okay, there was this guy who was going along, he was beat up, and you can have stories with kids, and kids enjoy it so much. And us as adults, we're just like, oh yeah, it's a nice story. But kids, they're just like, whoa, and they're like, this is the coolest thing ever. So, despite what you may believe, you are just like children in the way that your brain works, the way how your brain receives information. It's just like a child. And that's why Jesus told stories. It wasn't just for the kids, but it was for us as adults. So that's the first point. All of us are children. We have the Bible verse that says we are called the sons of the living God. Now, is this a bad thing to be a child? I would say no. There are lots of different things about being a child that aren't good, but there are lots of things that are very good. The first thing that I want to mention, if you guys will open up with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, chapter 8. Okay, I lost this one. Anyway, chapter 6 has the verses that I wanted to read for sure. Chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. And I can't find the other verse right now. I apologize for that. But what I wanted to find was all throughout the Old Testament, when you're reading about what God does, he says, okay, now stop. Take some stones and build an altar. Stop. Take some stones and make something. Make a pile of stones. Make a heap here, right? And why does he do this? And the verse that I was going to read, it was that, like, when your children are with you and you go through the land, they'll ask you, what is this? It happens over and over and over again that God says, when your children ask you, what is this? Why is this here? A classic example is Joshua. When they walk through the Jordan River, God says, stop, take some stones from the river, pull them out here, and make an altar. So that every time you go on vacation and you go by the Jordan River and you see that altar, you're like, look, children, kids, this is where God did something. So the first thing that's great about children is they ask all these questions. The verse from Deuteronomy 6 that I wanted to read, it says God is commanding the children of Israel. He says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your head, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." So God, the first thing that he loves about children is that they ask questions, that they're willing to learn, right? Okay, I'm good. I don't want to read it. Just wanted to say that. So anyway, that's the first point. God wants us to be like children because he wants us to ask questions. He wants us to learn from him as he speaks to us. The second thing I want to read is in Matthew 18:22. I probably don't need to read it because all of you all know this story. Verses 21 and 22. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And then Jesus replies to him. He says, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Right? So the second thing that God loves about children that I want to give you guys is that children forgive one another. I'll give you an example because I love examples with Jeremiah. I apologize. Jeremiah and his cousin came over to his house one day, and they were playing, and they were playing in the jacuzzi. And I was working outside. I don't remember what I was doing. And I turn around all of a sudden, and one of them is sitting like this, and the other one, about this far, he was sitting like this. They weren't looking at each other. And they were both asha, like unkruntatsun fatsun. They were both upset. And I'm like, "What happened? You guys were literally just playing, and I turned around, and you guys aren't playing." And one of them is like, "He splashed me." The other one's like, "Well, he did that first, right?" I'm like, "Okay, hold up, hold up." So I go over there, and I ask one of them, "Hey, do you want to sit here by yourself and not play?" He's like, "No." I turn to the other one, "Hey, do you want to sit here by yourself and not play?" "No." "Okay. Why don't you guys just say sorry and play?" "Okay." And so they said sorry to each other, they forgave each other, and then they played, and they didn't have any problems. They forgive one another. It isn't hard for children to be upset at one another, but to forgive one another and forget about it. Say, "It happened, it's fine. We're going to play together, we're going to work together, we're going to live together." So that's something that God loves about children, that children are willing to forgive one another. And he wants us to be like that, like how he said to Peter, "Look, Peter, it isn't just seven times that you have to forgive your brother, but 70 times seven, over and over and over again, because they're your brother, right?" I forgot to tell you guys the story. I have an example for the awesome questions, if you guys will let me go back really fast. I was at a water park with Jeremiah. Very fun. We had a lot of fun. And we were sitting in line. And this is to demonstrate how children ask questions. We were sitting in this line, and there was a gentleman. He was probably in his 60s. He had white hair, and he was there with his family. And Jeremiah, quite loud, he says, "Andrew, why is that old guy at the water park?" I'm just like, "Oh God, no, my God, why?" Okay, this is the type of things that children ask, right? So that's like my very real example of we want to be like children. We want to ask questions. Yes, there is a time and a place and a proper way to ask these questions. But we want to ask questions, and God wants that in us. So first of all, the first thing that God loves about children is that they ask questions. The second thing that he loves is that they're willing to forgive one another. And the third thing that he loves is that they are gentle. If we flip back a few pages to Matthew 10, verse 16, Jesus, he takes his 12 disciples, he's just chosen them, he prays over them, he blesses them, and then he sends them out to spread the gospel, to cast out demons, to heal, to do all this stuff. And verse 16, he says this. It's a beautiful verse. "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves." In other translations, it says, as gentle as doves. So, the real life example I want to give you for this, if you could please put it up. I have a photo. We had a hummingbird that came and it lived in our tree, and one of its little babies, it fell outside. So I picked it up and I took it over to Jeremiah, and I want you to look at that. Look at how gentle he is with it. Look how careful he is with it. I want you guys to think about that when he says to be wise as serpent and as gentle as doves, like that. Take care of what God has given you. He has given you blessings. He's given you family, friendships, all these different things. He's given you your talents, your gifts. Take care of what God has given you. Be careful with it. Thank you very much, Emil. So, first thing that God loves about children, they ask questions, even though they're kind of funny questions sometimes. The second thing is they forgive. They're willing to forgive anybody, okay? And the third thing is that they're gentle. They have the spirit where they're gentle. Now, God doesn't want us to be like children all the time. You notice he says, be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves, as harmless as doves. He wants us to be wise as we're living through life. He doesn't want us to be foolish as we go through life, exposing ourselves to things that we shouldn't be exposing us to, ourselves to, but he wants us to be gentle. He wants us to take care of what he has given us. Now, I have some verses. If you guys will open up with me to Mark chapter 10, verses 14 through 16. It's a story about people bringing their children to Jesus. And I looked in all three of the gospels, in three of the four gospels, they have this story. So pause for just a second and appreciate that. This story was so important that the Holy Spirit said, put it in three out of the four gospels, okay? So it's very important to God that we love children. But what's interesting, in Matthew, it only has the first verse. In Luke, it only has the first two verses. And in the book of Mark, it has all three verses that describe this little story. So they brought their little children to him, verse 13. Mark 10, verse 14. Okay, we'll read from verse 13. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, pay attention, he was greatly displeased. And he said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So this is where Matthew stops. Luke, it goes further and he says the next verse. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Okay? Luke stops there. And then Mark, he continues with this last verse. And it's interesting because it's almost the exact same words in all three of the Gospels. And Mark continues with this. He says, he took them up on his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. So there are a few things I want to unpack from this story. The first thing that I really want to emphasize, and this is kind of where the title for the sermon comes from, it's verse 15. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. It's such an interesting verse because it doesn't take a lot of theology. It doesn't take a lot of stuff. It just takes the faith of a child. And that's why I wanted the title of the sermon to be Faith Like a Child. It doesn't have to be this extraordinary thing. It's just being like a child, accepting God, accepting his gift. Have you ever met a child and been like, here, I want to give you a present, and then to be like, oh no, I don't want it? I'm like, no, all the kids are like, oh sweet, what is it? Give it to me, right? They're super excited, and that's how we should be about our salvation. We just have to accept it like a little child. So that's the first thing. And we want to have faith like a child. The second thing, I love in verse 16, he says, he took them up in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Man, I love that. I'm like, that's so cool. Imagine if you were there. Wouldn't you want to be like, Jesus, can you please bless me? I know I'm not a child, but please bless me, you know? Put your hands on me and pray for me too. It's like, dude, I wish I knew what Jesus said when he was blessing those children at that time. Something I wanted to read about. In the Old Testament, we see Jesus, or we see God, and the image of God is like a warrior, right? And he's the strong tower, and he's the defender. If you read through like how David describes him, he's a warrior, he has all these different things. And when the children of Israel, they go into the land of Canaan, we see him say, you have to kill everybody. Everybody, because of their sins. We see a God who's powerful and a God who's just. And when we look in the New Testament, we see more of God, that he hasn't revealed himself like in the Old Testament. And in Colossians, it says this, Colossians 1, verse 15, it says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And the next chapter, it says that in Jesus, in him, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when we want to see the image of God, we have to look at Jesus. Jesus is the perfect example of God. So when Jesus says, let the little children come to me. I love the little children. Let me love on them and pray with them and bless them. We see the heart of God when God says, let the little children come to me. So we are like children. God knows this. This is why he spoke in parables to us. He wants us to be like children because of these different things, and he loves us as his children. I wanted to read for you guys from the book of Numbers, chapter 6. At the very end of the chapter, this is the benediction that God says over the, he says for the children of Israel to pray over their children. And if you can put it up on the screen, I know that you even heard it this morning. And it's a beautiful tradition that we have that when children are dedicated in this church, we pray over them with these words. But look at it and just absorb how beautiful this is. From verses 24 to 27, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So shall I put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. It's like so beautiful when we see how God loves his children. He doesn't just say, oh yeah, you're my kids. Now go off into the world. But he's like, I love you. You're my children. I want to bless you. I want to put my name on you. It isn't enough that you're just my children. Oh, yeah, they're my kids. But it's like, no, he wants to bless us. He wants to be with us. In Psalm 127, if you guys want to flip there, it's another beautiful psalm. It's a psalm of ascent. It's by Solomon from verses 3 to 5. Solomon, he says this, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one youth. You can imagine him sitting there, right? He's like, man, like a quiver full of arrows. You just want to have this. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They will not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Wow, so powerful. God loves us as his children, and he gives children to us for us to take care of them, for us to raise them, and to see an image of how God loves us. There are other places in Psalm 144 where, again, it's praising God for the children that he's given us. In Genesis 49, when Jacob is blessing his children, he takes Joseph and he says, blessed are you with the heavens above. I'm just going to read it because I don't want to mess it up because it sounds so nice. Oh, look, I had a bookmark there. In Genesis 49, verse 25, by the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, with blessings of the deep that lies beneath, with blessings of the breasts and of the womb. It's a blessing to have children. The last one is Deuteronomy 28, verse 4. It's another blessing that's similar to this, but I'm going to read it because it's so powerful, and we see all these blessings that God has for us. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. It's a huge, huge blessing for God to give us children. And again, one of the reasons why he gives children to us is so that we can see the heart of the Father. Now, all this stuff is cool, flipping back and forth through the Bible, but we're going to focus for just a sec on two parables that Jesus said. If you guys open up to Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 30, there's a parable that Jesus says to them. He says, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, he regretted it, and he went. Then he came to the second. He said the same thing. He said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Then Jesus asked this question, which of the two did the will of his father? And they said to him, the first. Jesus was like, yeah, that's right. And then he keeps on going, and he keeps on talking to them. He gave them this parable. He gave them this story. He said, which of these two did the will of the Father? Was it the one who said that he's going to do stuff? Or was it the one that did the will of the Father? It was the one that did what God asked him to do. You see, God is really playing the part of the Father in this story, and we are playing the part of the sons. And even though we would want to be perfect children and listen to God and serve him perfectly, we're never going to be perfect children. At best, we can only be like that one who says, I will not. Because all of us, at one point in our life, have turned away from God. All of us have sinned, and fallen short of the glory of God. But you notice, Jesus doesn't ask which of them was best, which of them was perfect, which of them is good enough to go to heaven. He asks, which of the two did the will of his Father? And Jesus said, and they said to him, well, the first. And then he goes on and he says, look, the harlots, the tax collector, all these people who you're like, oh, no, they're the scum of the earth, they are going to turn and do the will of the Father, and they're going to get to heaven. We want to be like that. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He accepts us as his children, and he wants us to do his will. So there's hope, because no matter how far you've fallen, how much you've failed, you can go forward and do the will of the Father. That's why Jesus stresses it, and I stressed it. Afterwards, he regretted it, and he went. It isn't enough for us to be like, oh, man, I did wrong. It isn't enough for us to just be like, oh, it's fine, somebody else will do it. But we have to regret our sin, we have to turn from our sin, and go and do the will of the Father. The other parable that I wanted to share from is in Luke chapter 15, chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. I'm not going to read the whole story. It's the story of the prodigal son. You guys want to go home, totally read it, totally do a Bible study. You could do hundreds, thousands of Bible studies just on this passage. So it's like there's no way for me to go into it in all its depth. I just want to highlight the characters that play parts in this parable. There's the prodigal son, there's the faithful son, and there's the father. Again, the father is supposed to represent God. But the father is also the part that some of us play. I wanted to bring up this parable because I know that there are families that have prodigal children. My family is one of them. My brother has left home, and he hasn't come back yet. We pray for him every day, and we have faith that God is working in him, and we see how God works at him. And it's funny because he doesn't see how God is working in him, whereas we see how God is working in him. There are all sorts of people that have prodigal children. And so again, this message tonight is a message of hope, a message to say, don't worry, God's got it. It's under control. So if you're a mother, don't worry. This parable still applies to you. If we look in Isaiah really fast, God says this, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, but I will never forget you. So God is our Father, just like how Jesus said. He is our Father who art in heaven. All these great things about God as a father, but he also made woman. And woman is also made in the image of God. The man and the woman, they come together, they show the complementarity, the parts of God. So a mother who loves her children is also demonstrating the love of God. A man who stands up for his children and raises them right, he's demonstrating that justice, that truth, that power, that authority that God has. This is why family is so important. So that's just to say, no matter where you are in the story of the prodigal son, if you have a prodigal who's just left home, has come home, all this, everything, the whole spectrum, you can take this story and learn from it. Whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're a brother or sister, anything, you can take this story and learn from it. I wanted to say about this story, it's so interesting because these are the two parables, and I look for a little bit. These are the two parables that Jesus says, and he's like, there's a man who had two sons. They both start the same way. There's a man who had two sons. And then they go off, and he has different meanings for each story. The good news is, again, like in the parable that I just read about the man, the vineyard owner, there is hope. And here's the thing. And I only want to read this one verse, verse 20 from Luke 15. So he arose, the prodigal son. He came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. Just this one verse, again, it shows us this is the image of our Father. This is our dad who's in heaven, who loves us, who cares for us. It wasn't, oh, he heard from one of his servants that he saw him way out in the distance. It wasn't, oh, he had people over there watching for it. But it says, when he was a still great way off, his father saw him. His father was there, he was watching, and he was waiting. How long do you think his father sat there? He went out there every day, day after day after day after day, over and over and over again, waiting for his son to come back. And this is something interesting that we see about God. We see that God has this patience that seems like it never, ever, ever, ever ends. He does it over and over and over again. Flip over three chapters later. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. This parable, another parable. You see, God loves parables because he knows there's stories that get us and teach us. This parable, there's a woman. She goes to the judge. The judge doesn't want to do what she needs help with. And she goes over and over and over and over again until the judge is like, dude, I'm going nuts if I don't help this lady. So he finally helps her, right? But I just want to read you the first verse. Why did he say this parable? Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Let me say that again. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. He wants us to be exactly like he was in the story of the prodigal son. He wants us to go over and over and over again in prayer, in our work, in our service, in whatever place God has put you, to go over and over and over again and to not lose heart. In Proverbs, Solomon says, guard your heart, for out of it spring forth the issues of your life. You can go through this world and win people for God, for Christ, right? But if you lose your heart, where'd you get? You have to keep your heart. You have to serve God with your whole heart. It isn't just enough to serve him with your lips, but you have to serve him with your whole heart. He taught us this parable to pray, to not lose heart. And I love this story. It just like, it hammers it in. He wants us to be persistent. So, question. Have you guys ever seen a child ask for something? Can we go to the park? Can we go to the beach? Can you play with me? Can we do this? Can we do this? Can we do that? Oh my gosh, it drives me nuts sometimes when Jeremiah's like, Andrew, can you do this? Andrew, can you play with me? Andrew, can you do this? I'm like, dude, leave me alone. I don't have time for you right now, okay? But you see, children have that. They don't lose heart. They're like, no, we are not going to the park today. It's too cloudy. They'll come back 5 minutes later. Can we go to the beach? No, it's cloudy. I just told you, right? They have that persistence. They go over and over and over again. I want to read you guys a quote. With this quote, I want to finish. And I asked Jason and Andrew if you guys could come up and play. Andrew, I don't know if you're doing it or if Jason's doing it. But there's a song that I asked them to play that reflects this, that we are children of God, that God has taken us. And I just want you guys to enjoy this song, to praise God with it, to worship him, and to appreciate the fact that God has made us as his children. And this is the quote I want to read. It's about persistence. I remember the story of God, how he's sitting there as a father day after day. Listen to this quote. Children have abounding vitality because they are in spirit fierce and free. Therefore, they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, do it again. And the grown-up person does it again until he's nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. But perhaps, right, God is strong enough to exult in monotony. He's willing to get up day after day, day after day, to pray for his child, to wait for his children to come home. It's possible that God says every morning, do it again, to the sun. And every evening, do it again, to the moon. It may not be an automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately but he has never gotten tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy. For we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. The repetition in nature may not be a mere recurrence. It may be a theatrical encore. We see this over and over and over again. We see the patience of God, the love of God that goes over and over and over again. This is why God has called us his children. This is why he says they are the children of God. If you could play the song, Jason, and then afterwards, Frate Lazar, please come up, and I want us to just enjoy this time, this worship, praising God. Thank you, guys.